time. God is so faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Just when you may not know how, you may not know when, but God always does it again and again and again. He knows how to get things to you just when you need it. And God is never late. Praise God. Oh, yes. Tomorrow night, if anybody's interested in going, I'm going to be preaching at Jesus is Lord International Ministries in Biglerville, Pennsylvania at 7 p.m. You can carpool. It's about 30 miles west of Gettysburg. If you can't go, you can watch it online at jilm.org. jilmi.org. You can log on and you can watch it. So it's going to be a great time. This church is having services four times a day, every day. They started September 1st. And they've invited several ministers from the area to kind of fill in. So it's going to be a great time. All the ministers are talking about Jesus this month.
Hallelujah.
And next month, we're going to talk about the Father. And then I think the month after that, we're talking about the Holy Ghost. So thank God that I'm in Pennsylvania. God's doing something in Pennsylvania. And if you're visiting with us tonight, we just want to say welcome to you. This is our midweek service. We go from like 7 to 8, give or take 10 or 15 minutes. So praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 11. I always give you a little snippet of something that will inspire you to be a giver like God is. Amen? How many know it's a good thing to give?
Yes.
Amen. Well, here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. There is that scatters and yet increases. Now, I want you to notice they scatter, but yet they increase. All right? And there is that withholds more than is meet. Notice they're withholding more than what they should, but that tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Say, I'm liberal. Has nothing to do with politics. It has a lot to do with generosity. The liberal soul shall be made fat. That word fat speaks of like the anointing. And God just makes you rich. And he that waters shall be watered also himself. So as you water tonight, how do we do it here at VCF? Anytime during the service, we have a container in the back. You can put your tithes or offerings in there. And Father, we just give you thanks and praise that you bless every giver and every gift. Father, multiply it. Bring it back unto them, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Cause men to give into their bosom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And for those of you that don't know, we celebrated, my book just came out. It's called DEPTH, and it's an acronym. It stands for Doing Excellent Principles of Truth with Honor. And what it's designed to do is it'll take you deeper in a relationship with God. Amen? How many know if you want to get the best minerals of the earth, you got to what? You got to go deep, right? You got to dig for oil, you got to dig for gold, all the minerals you got to dig for. So if you want to go deeper in God, this is a great tool that will help you. It's available in our bookstore, and it's $10. So I'm so excited. God gave it to me, so I give it back to him. Amen?
Amen.
If you have your Bibles tonight, we want to get right into the Word. Why don't you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 55. We're going to read 55 through 58. He says this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But I love it when God interjects something. And then God can butt in anytime that he wants to, right? But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have the victory? It's through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So he did all the hard work. He did all the heavy lifting. And when we put our faith in him, when we trust him, we get his victory. That's a pretty good deal. Yes. Amen? We didn't earn the victory. We couldn't be good enough for the victory. But God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Aren't you glad that when you work in the Lord, your labor is not in vain? It's when you're working unto yourself that it becomes vain. Now, if God gave us the victory over death and over sin and over the law, is there anything that you can't get the victory from? Is there anything that you can't be victorious over? God has given us the victory, and really, that's an item of praise. It says, thanks be to God that has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you need victory in finances, you got it. Amen. If you need victory over broken relationships, you've got it. Amen. If you need victory over enemies, you've got it. Amen? Amen? Yeah. God has... The moment you trusted Christ, you were instilled with victory. Amen. You have victory in your DNA. Amen. Amen? Because if Jesus is in your heart and he's the victorious one, then you got his victory. Amen? So what does it mean to have the victory? It means a concrete conquest. That means that your enemy didn't have a chance. Hallelujah, that's good news, isn't it? It means a triumph, all right? A victory, you won. It's a means of success. So victory is to win. It's to succeed in a contest against an enemy, opponent, or a battle. And sometimes with the Lord, all you have to do is show up for the battle, but always the battle is his. Amen? Amen. And you just show up and he'll give you a strategy of how to win. Now, just because you won over an enemy last week, that doesn't mean you're going to fight the enemy the same way. That's why you got to listen to God. You got to hear his voice. Oftentimes, before David went to battle, he would inquire of the Lord. He'd say, am I going to win? Or shall I pursue? Shall I go after? The Lord will say, yeah, go after and you're going to win. So the times that David didn't inquire of the Lord is when he lost. When we think that we can do it on our own, that's when we're going to lose. So victory is success in overcoming a difficult situation or an obstacle. We all face difficulties, don't we? But victory is the ability to overcome difficulty. Through Christ, we have the victory over sin, death, and the grave. Praise God. So when you die as a believer, it doesn't affect you one bit. You just step out from, you know, let's just say, that when I die, all I'm going to do is I'm going to step out of this body and I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen? Amen? God alone is the author of victory over death. He formed the plan. He executed it in the gift of his Son, and he gives it to us personally when we come to the point of dying. You know what? Sometimes we have to die to ourselves. Sometimes what is standing in the way of our victory is us holding on to ourselves. And sometimes when we die to self, that's really when the victory begins. Victory is God's deliverance of his covenant people. Aren't you glad we have a covenant with God? We have an agreement, a lifetime guarantee, you might say. And David understood his covenant rights. When Goliath came against Israel, David recognized him as an uncircumcised Philistine. That means he had no covenant with God. And if you have a covenant with God and you're up against someone that doesn't have a covenant with God, guess what? The one with the covenant's going to win. Amen. Hallelujah. And victory is God's ultimate salvation of his people from all of sin's consequences. Amen? Yeah. Salvation is designed to make you whole. Now let's go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. God showed me in the book of Philippians how to gain and maintain. You know, it's one thing to gain the victory, but then you got to maintain it. How many know that when a country defeats another country, they sign a treaty, don't they? And the country that won has to make sure that the country that lost abides by the agreement, by the treaty. In other words, they have to enforce the defeat. We can enforce the defeat of the enemy. Who's the ultimate enemy?
Satan.
All right? In Philippians chapter 4, I'll give you these, and then we'll get into more detail about them, okay? So these are keys to how to gain and maintain the victory. Number one, you've got to stand firm in the Lord. Verse 1 says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So we got to stand firm. That means not be moved, all right? To be stationary, fixed. Number two comes in verse 2. He says, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Number two is you've got to agree and be in harmony with the Lord. If you want to gain and maintain the victory, you've got to be in agreement with God. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, God never lost a battle. God never lost any. The thing that God lost, he came and sought after. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to lose anyone that God's given to me in my hand. And when you're in God's hand, nothing can take you out. Okay? So number three is in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You got to rejoice in the Lord. If you want to gain and maintain the victory, you got to know how to rejoice. We know how to complain, but do we know how to rejoice? You know, one time I heard a message when the Israelites left Egypt, and they were on the other side, and Miriam got her tambourine, and she started singing. She sang on the wrong side. She sang after they won. She should have been singing before they won. Just a thought. The fourth thing that's going to help you gain and maintain the victory is found in verse 5. It says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. That word is, that word moderation, it's actually forbearance. And it speaks of unselfishness. So you got to let, you got to walk in love. If you want to gain and maintain the victory, you got to walk in love. Because faith works by what? Faith works by love. If you have a problem loving people, well, you're going to have a hard time loving God. And if you have a hard time loving God or people, you cannot walk in faith. Because love helps your faith work. The fifth thing that I saw is in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You can't be anxious or nervous or worrisome about anything.
Amen.
You know, can you just imagine when the end of football season, and if the teams are nervous and fearful about the game, you know, they're anxious. Be anxious for what, the Bible says?
Nothing.
Nothing. Zero, nada. All right, the Bible doesn't mince words, does it? Anytime Jesus showed up to a person, his first response was normally, fear not. Be of good cheer, I'm here. The sixth thing that I've noticed was also in verse 6, we've got to pray with thanksgiving. We got to develop the art of being grateful. You know, it's amazing what God does to a thankful heart. Those who give thanks unto God. Listen, it doesn't matter what's happened in your life, how much bad things have happened to you, listen, you can look for something good. You can find something good in everything. Okay? The seventh thing is in verse 8. It tells us to think on these things. You got to think on right things. If you want to gain, most people lose the victory because of their thoughts. When we're thinking on the wrong thing, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, what? So is he. You know, if David would have thought, well, I hope this rock's going to hit the mark. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'll try it. If he'd have faced Goliath like that with that attitude, things would have been different. But he had confidence because he was thinking on the right things. The eighth thing that's going to help you gain and maintain the victory is in verse 9, where it says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Notice that phrase, do. You've got to practice what you've learned. You've got to practice what you've learned if you want to gain and maintain the victory. When you repeat something, it becomes easier. And you establish a habit by repeating something over and over until you don't have to think about it. How many have to get up this morning and said, boy, I better brush my teeth? Someone else might have said that to you. But we get in such a habit that we don't think about it, but that works in a positive way. Amen? What if you were in the habit and you look at the mirror every day and you say, you're going somewhere to succeed today? And you establish that habit where you wouldn't even think about it, you just say it automatically, guess what? It's going to start to happen in your life. Okay? The ninth thing that I learned about gaining the victory is found in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect for want, for I have learned to be I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therefore to be content. Listen, if you're going to gain the victory, you got to learn how to be content. Okay? The tenth thing that I learned is found in verse 13. I can do all things. How many things? Through who? Through Christ who what? Strengthens me. You've got to know that Christ empowers you, that Christ strengthens you. If you're going to gain the victory, you've got to know where your strength comes from. Jesus is the source of your strength, okay? And then number 11 comes from verses 15 and 20. The Philippian church was the only church in this particular time in Paul's life that partnered with him. If you want to gain the victory, you got to help someone who's struggling. Amen? Sometimes you need to minister to others what you need. It's called sowing and reaping. Bible says if you want to be a friend, if you want friends, what do you have to do? Be friendly. When you be friendly, you are sowing friendship and you're going to reap relationship. But you're not going to reap relationship if you don't show yourself friendly. All right? So let's get into these a little bit further. You like these? Okay. Let's look a little bit about standing firm or standing fast. If you want to, the word to stand means to be stationary, and it means to persevere. How many know that Jesus, in order to save us, he had to go to a cross? He had to shed his blood. He had to die. He had to be mocked and persecuted. He had to suffer some things. But guess what? He stood firm. He didn't get deterred from what God wanted him to do. He didn't get turned from his mission. We've got to stand fast. Go to Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27. Verse 14. And it says this, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, if you're facing a challenge or a difficulty, who should you go to first? Should you call up all your friends and say, look, pray for me. I'm going through something. You know, the Bible says the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to him and what? Find safety. Listen, how quickly can the Lord save a person? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? So the minute you call upon God, that's going to bring him into your situation. You know, your first response will determine what God will do next. How we respond to a situation, we're either going to be in agreement with God or we're going to be in agreement with the devil. We're either going to be producing life or death. And you know, it's always good to... So, sometimes we just need to take some time and wait on God to strengthen us. Taking time to wait on God is through prayer and worship. You know, there were times when I didn't feel like doing what I needed to do for God. But you know what? I did it anyway. I remember one time I was in Illinois, and I worked late. And I got to church late. Church had already started. And I mean, the work that I did, I was wore out. I was tired, but I went home, got a shower, came to church. Didn't feel like it, but I'm glad I came. And I'm sitting there in towards the back in one of these seats next to the aisle. And they started singing about being free. And all of a sudden on the inside of me, something just said, well, if you're free, why don't you act like it? I was like, okay. So I just stepped out into the aisle, and I call it cutting a rug. I danced. Amen? Did I feel like it? No. But then during that service, God spoke to me through the pastor. He had something for me. But see, if I didn't take the time to wait on God, listen, just waiting on God can change your whole perspective. It can clear your mind, so to speak. Just take these scriptures down. Acts 11:23 tells us we got to cleave to the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 through 18, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having the full armor of God. Having done all to stand, stand. How is that possible? Because you're not doing it on your own strength. You have exerted all your strength, but the Lord just wants you to stand. And then if you're just standing, he'll come and make up the difference. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 3:13, establish your heart in blameless sanctification. We got to establish our hearts. We got too many wishy-washy Christians. What does James say about being double-minded? A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. He shall not think that he shall receive anything from God. What does it mean to be double-minded? To hold the two opinions. Pick one and stick with it. Amen? Stand firm. If you decide to follow the Lord, don't change. If you decide to trust God, don't change. Stick with it. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, be strong in God's grace. Listen, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is his power, his ability, his favor, his goodness that he gives to you freely. God's grace helps you stand. God's grace helps you get saved. And God's grace helps you serve. And God's grace helps you do what's impossible. You read Paul, he always said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He stood strong in God's grace. You know, we have to develop endurance. All right? Go to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. I'm going to go to the next point to help gain and maintain the victory, and that's to be in harmony with the Lord. We got any, you know, it's nice when singers harmonize, don't they? And when you're in harmony with the Lord, you're in harmony with people. To be in harmony means to be in agreement. It means to be synchronized. It means, I like this, it means to have a pleasant arrangement. It means to be parallel. How many know that when roads are parallel, they're going in the same direction? They're going the same way. Amen? And guess what? We need to be parallel with the Lord. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together, how? In unity. Okay, it's good. It's pleasant. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. But it all has to do with unity. And that's something that the devil will attack. He's a divider. He wants to put people against one another. Because a house divided against itself shall not stand, right? Mark 9:50, we have to be at peace with one another. God gave you a peacemaker. It's not a Colt revolver, amen? It's a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. What's the difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker? Compromise. Some people want to keep the peace by compromising what they believe. But we're not here to keep the peace, we're here to make peace. You know it takes two to tango? If someone wants to argue with you, don't argue. Guess what? If one person's arguing, there's not much of an argument. Amen? A soft answer turns away wrath. That's being a peacemaker. When someone's screaming, I remember one time someone came into my office and they were mad. They were red in the face. They were sitting down right across from my desk and they were calling me a policeman, a detective. And I looked at them and I said, you know what? We're in a spiritual battle here. And there's a whole lot more going on in the spirit and we've got to reach people. And you know what? Their anger subsided. I mean, they were screaming at me in my office. A soft answer turns away wrath. You know what? Romans 12, verses 9 through 21, we need to have a sincere love for God and for people. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 2 and 3. He's telling us, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. Do you know that we can have the same love that Jesus has? We're supposed to be like-minded. Being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Listen, where strife is, every evil work is. We have a zero tolerance for strife. Strife is wicked. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. How do you be a peacemaker? Outserve the other. Spouses, try to outserve each other. See who can outserve each other. You know what made the day of Pentecost so awesome? Because you had 120 people who were of one mind, one accord. And what happened in that atmosphere of unity? The Holy Spirit came down, touched everybody. See, everybody was unified together. God poured out his Spirit. Flames of fire stood on each of them. They all spoke with tongues. And that day, 3,000 people got born again. That's the power of being in harmony and agreement with the Lord. And that's going to be a key to having victory. How many people did the Lord criticize who tried to kill him? He just walked away. And then finally, when he laid down his life, after they nailed him to the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." You talk about being a peacemaker. Talking about being in harmony and agreement with God. Yeah, Jesus faced critics. Jesus would heal a person and they wanted to kill him and they wanted to persecute him because it was just done on the Sabbath. How do we handle criticism? Listen, don't spend more time with a critic than you would a friend. If someone wants to criticize you, just bless them. I remember Brother Hagin. You know, his staff was getting mad because people were criticizing him, and they said, "Aren't you going to say anything?" He said, "I've been criticized by the best." He said, "I'm not going to mess with that peon." In other words, he didn't pay any mind to it. He didn't pay any attention to it. Because he was in agreement and harmony with the Lord. Even Jesus' own disciple that denied him three times. When he saw Peter again, he didn't criticize Peter. He didn't say, "Peter, remember what you did? You bad boy, you." He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Because he knew that Peter's heart wanted what he had. Jesus came and made peace with Peter because he was in harmony and agreement with God. Jacob and Esau. Jacob stole his blessing and his birthright. Esau wanted to kill him, but guess what? Because Jacob was in harmony and agreement with God, the two brothers ended up reconciling. Now, you listen, when you're in harmony and agreement with the Lord, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to like you. I mean, look at Jesus. He was perfect. It just means that God's going to be your defense, and it's going to help you get the victory. Amen? Now, let's talk a little bit about the third one, rejoice. The word rejoice. It means to be cheerful. Everybody, give me your cheerful look. It means to be happy, well off. It means to be glad. And I like the word rejoice, because if you don't get it right the first time, you can do it again. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Sometimes we've got to practice rejoicing. Sometimes, thank God that we can count to 10 and sometimes back again. I mean, you know, sometimes we get grumpy. You know? There was a cartoon about these hillbilly hound dogs, and the father would go, ham, ham, ham. I didn't even know what he was saying. But we have to get good at rejoicing. We have something to rejoice about. Our joy is not based on our circumstances. Our joy comes from the Savior. Our joy comes from Jesus. Guess what? If Jesus gives you joy, then your circumstance can't take it away. Because that circumstance didn't give you joy. Go to Romans chapter 12. See, I want you to be victorious. I want you to face challenges knowing that you have the victory already, and I want you to maintain that victory. Romans 12, verse 12. We're supposed to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. How many know that patience can be a struggle sometimes? Because we are so used to having it now, having it your way, right? But we've got to learn how to rejoice. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Think about how good God is. Do you realize that when Sarah began to consider the faithfulness of God, when she sat down and she began to take an inventory of her life, from the time that they left Haran to where they were now, Sarah began to take an inventory, and when she considered God faithful, guess what? Something happened in Sarah that changed her body. It made her womb from that was dead alive. And she got a sparkle in her eye when she looked at Abraham. Come on, are you with me? What caused her to gain that strength? It was because she began considering the Lord faithful. And when we rejoice, we're not rejoicing, we're rejoicing in the Lord. Amen? The Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. He's greatly to be praised. His love is unfailing. And faith in God produces joy. Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. Look at verse 34. This is about the Philippian jailer. Acts 16, 34. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. In that moment, because Paul and Silas, they were rejoicing in the prison. I mean, when you have nothing better to do and you're in chains and it's in darkness, you might as well rejoice. Amen? It's just as easy to rejoice as it is to complain. And here's Paul and Silas. Now, remember, they had just been beaten. Why were they beaten? Because they got someone delivered from devils. And they're in chains. They're in darkness. They're in the inner part. And there wasn't any Febreze. So while in chains at midnight, they decide to praise God. They weren't silent because the other prisoners heard them. God heard them. What happened when they rejoiced? When you rejoice, God gets happy. And he starts tapping his foot. And when God taps his foot, he might make the earth shake. But rejoicing broke their chains and the other prisoners' chains. Let me tell you something. Rejoicing is contagious. If you've ever been around me, when laughter hits me, it's contagious. When you hear your pastor laying on the floor laughing like a chicken, it can be contagious. But let me tell you, we need to rejoice, people. We need to be happy in God. We need to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. We need to practice rejoicing right now. Some of you are too sad. We need to practice rejoicing right now. I say rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. When you start to rejoice, burdens leave. Demons don't want to hang around. Well, I don't feel like rejoicing. Thank God you're led by the Spirit and not by your feelings. Why do you think the Bible says offer a sacrifice of praise? The fruit of your lips giving thanks. It's because you don't feel like praising God, but you do it anyway. Listen, sometimes you may just have to make yourself laugh. Everybody's like so serious. You ain't making me laugh. Go ahead, make my day. What did Mary do when she was just given information that she was going to be carrying the Savior? My soul does magnify the Lord. Woo, she got excited. Notice her soul. Magnify. See, that's what rejoicing does. It makes God bigger than your situation. Hallelujah. Rejoicing makes God bigger than your situation. Praise God. My soul does magnify the Lord. We got to magnify God. We can, you know, the kingdom of God, Romans 14:7 says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And joy, there is freedom in joy. I mean, if you want to cast your cares to the Lord, the best way to do it is to laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Well, Pastor, you're just trying to manufacture that in the flesh. Where do you think it starts? Listen, the minute you start to rejoice, guess what? Something will kick in. The generator will come on. Amen? You know, sometimes to rejoice, it's like trying to start a bike with a kickstart. You know, you kick it, it goes, no, 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 no. You kick it again, it goes, no, 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 no. You kick it a third time, no, you're ready to take off. Amen? That's why he said rejoice, and again I say rejoice. You got to keep doing it until you kick in, until the Holy Ghost kicks in. Amen? But I tell you what, that's a key to having victory. Joy. Hebrews talks about Jesus for the joy that was set before him. What did the joy do? It helped him endure. Paul said, I finished my course with joy. But Paul was persecuted. Yeah, but he finished his course with joy. You know why? He went through the persecution and he came out on the other side. And he had something to rejoice about. You got time for one more?
Yes. Amen.
This is from verse 5 in Philippians. You got to let all men know your moderation. That means your unselfishness, your forbearance. Forbearance is patience. It's self-control. It's restraint. Remember when the people were acting against the Lord and his disciples, a.k.a. the sons of thunder, they said, shall we call fire down on them? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. In other words, when someone was doing something wrong, they wanted to react quickly to destroy. But sometimes we got to restrain ourselves so that God can give them mercy. How many know that Nineveh was scheduled for destruction? But God restrained his destruction for 40 days. Why? He gave them an opportunity to repent. He gave them time to change. So, We're going to let our moderation is our forbearance. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 25. And every man that strives for the mastery is what? Temperate in all, in how many things? What does it mean to be temperate? Self-controlled. Did you know that it's not God's job to control you? We are supposed to be self-controlled. How do we control ourselves? Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run not as uncertainly. So we have to have purpose in our life. If we don't have any purpose, if we don't have any revelation, then we're going to perish. People without a vision perish. So I fight not as one that beats the air. Listen, when Paul did something, he did it on purpose. How many have ever tried to kill time and found out that time doesn't die? What are you doing? I'm killing time. It doesn't die. You're wasting time. Here's how we do it, verse 27. But notice this, I keep my body and bring, I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. If we're not keeping our body under, our body is going to harm others. The words that we respond with, the actions, you know, I'll give you a knuckle sandwich. I'll give you a piece of my mind. Really? Because your mind has to be renewed every day. What if you didn't renew your mind that day? And you're going to give them a piece of your old mind. We got to keep our body under. See, this is good for me because right now I'm in my second day of fasting. I'm only drinking liquids. Now, Pastor Fiona said I should eat something before I preach tomorrow because I was getting a little goofy. But I feel really good. See, sometimes we got to put our bodies on holds to develop our spirits. How do you develop your spirit? Put your body on hold and become more sensitive to spiritual things. That's really what fasting is all about. It's about denying yourself so that you become more sensitive to other things. But Paul, he said, I. The real Paul is his spirit. Listen, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. All right? So when we exercise forbearance, we are allowing God to have mercy. So let your moderation be known to all. Let your mercy be known to all. How often is the Lord's mercies new? Every morning. Did you know that if it wasn't for mercy, not one of us would be here now? We all would have been destroyed. Thank God that God forbears with us. Amen? So are you ready to gain and maintain your victory? Amen. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. When? You already have it right now. But you enforce your victory by faith. When the devil comes at you, he comes at you like a fiery dart. Because the devil can't make you do anything. All he can do is give you a thought, he can give you an idea, or he can suggest something to you. And every thought, idea, or suggestion of the enemy comes at you like a fiery dart, okay? But we have a shield of faith. The Bible says it quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. So how do you counteract the fiery darts that the devil throws at you? When you declare who you are in Christ and what you have been given in Christ, that's raising your shield of faith, and that counteracts what the devil is coming at you with. So when you declare who you are in Christ, now you have to know who you are in Christ. Say, I am victorious. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All those are victory statements. When you say that, the devil might be coming at you. You can't do this. You're no good. You say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Boom, that doubt was just quenched. It was stopped. It was rendered useless and ineffective. You have essentially disarmed the enemy, and you haven't even fired anything. You've just simply raised your shield. But no matter what you're facing here tonight, we all have different challenges. I'm here to tell you tonight that you have the victory. The battle is not yours. And every battle that the Lord fights, he wins. And guess what? The winners get to get the spoil. I mean, in Jehoshaphat's case, he sent the praisers out before the warriors. Now, that's not good military strategy. If you're going to send someone out with a trumpet, no, send them out with a machine gun. Amen? But, see, God's plans are different. What happened? The praisers went out. They were praising God. God confused the enemy. The enemy killed each other. And Jehoshaphat, all he had to do was show up and gather the spoil. For 3 days, it took him to gather the spoil. That's pretty awesome. So you know what? The devil's got some of your spoil. And we're going to let God arise. And what happens when God arises? The enemies scatter. That's victory. When the enemy's not there, you've got the victory. Amen? Now, if you're here tonight and you're facing a challenge, doesn't matter what it is, it could be a physical challenge, could be a spiritual challenge, could be a financial challenge, doesn't matter. You already have the victory. Amen? I believe that God wants to anoint you just to get that victory woven into you. You know? Sometimes it just helps to you know, like when you take a shower, you don't just wash your arm, do you? You know, you get your whole self in. And see, the anointing of God is like that water coming from the shower. It's designed to help you. It's God's strength, power, it's his transfer. So I just want to make it available. If you need prayer tonight, I want you just to come up, amen, and I would love to pray for you. Doesn't matter for what, but you've already got the victory. Now, I want you to enforce the devil's defeat. The devil has no right in your life. None. He's been defeated. He's been made a show of openly. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you have defeated the enemy through the cross and the resurrection. And Lord, you've given us the victory. We can trample under serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. So if you need prayer tonight, I want to pray for you. God wants to touch you. Amen? He wants to help you. He's a very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Father, I thank you right now.
Your presence, no light can match your radiance. Let creation.